So my name's Artie Hill, and about 21 years ago, I decided to do musically what I'd wanted to do since I was 16 years old, but really hadn't had the nerve, which was just write country songs and do country music, classic country style, sort of like Hank, George Jones, that kind of thing, which 21 years ago, living in Baltimore City, was an even more ridiculous sounding idea than it is now. And I didn't think anybody would come out to see it or would even care, and but eventually people did. So I'm finishing up my 9th album now. I've written songs that other people have covered. I started a songwriting workshop at the Hank Williams Museum in Montgomery, Alabama. I've played down there. I've played in Texas. I've done a bunch of all this stuff in country music. But what I wanted to talk about was this idea of being an independent musician or doing independent music. Back when I was growing up, to me, living on the Eastern Shore of Maryland and Cambridge, where that whole idea of four guys in a van with ramen noodles driving around the country to become famous, I didn't know anybody who was doing that, really. I started my first band when I was like 12 or 13. By the time I was 16, I was playing bass in a band with three other people who were like two or three times my age, and they would book the gigs, and we'd play pretty much two, three weekends a month. I was making money, so I was in high school playing gigs on the weekends, you know, basically a working musician, not making enough money for it to be a full-time job, but having fun. So underneath that was always this idea, well, if I can make enough money where I don't have to have a job when I get out of school, if I can make enough money playing music, man, that's being independent, right? All right, so eventually I ended moving up here in the early 90s, and I was playing gigs around. I was playing Fells Point some. I was playing wherever we could get gigs. Me and one other guy, we were doing an acoustic duo because I was sort of moving away from doing rock and roll or pop music stuff, sort of towards country, bluegrass a little bit. So somebody raised the idea, and I can't remember who it was. He said, you know, if you want to play full-time and make money, you can go to Ocean City. Move to Ocean City during the summer at least, you know, probably May to October, you can make enough money where you don't have to have a day job. So at the time, I was working at Appalachian Bluegrass in Catonsville. I guess at this point, I was writing originals. I'd made cassette, remember cassettes, in two different duos. And this duo that I was in at the time, we had a cassette of original material. So we had like an hour and a half's worth of stuff probably. So me and my partner Brian and his fiance Chris, we moved to the beach. We all lived in the same condo. She worked for Miller Brewing, very conveniently. She used to drive the Miller girls around, take them to the bar. That's a whole nother story. Anyway, so right off the bat, we were able to book. We were playing 5 to 7 or 8 gigs a week. Because on the weekends, you could do Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night. So you get 4 in a weekend. You'd have like 1 or 2 days off a week, and you're making $100 a gig. So you're getting $500 to $800 a week, 800 on a busy week, or maybe more. And maybe 1 or 2 days off a week, all cash. I was able to have the condo that I was sharing down there, and I was still paying for my apartment in Fells Point. So I could play at the beach, take a day off. If I had a day off, I could drive up here, hang out in Fells Point. I mean, for a musician, right, 25, 26 years old, that's a pretty good thing. So I did that for 2 years, and I never wanted to do it ever again. And it got me off the idea that being an independent musician means only making your money doing it that way. And I'm going to condense down the myriad reasons why, apart from singing 6, 7, 8 gigs a week, 3 hours each gig, and when you don't have the greatest vocal technique, which I did not when I was 25 or 26, if I'd done that for 5 or 6 years, I probably wouldn't even be able to talk anymore. The fact that, as Natasha was pointing out, when you play that many nights and that many gigs a week, who do you hang out with other than like other musicians and the guy you play with? Nobody wants to hang out with you. You got to force yourself up to get up at 10 in the morning at the earliest because you've been up till 3 o'clock. Even if you weren't hanging out, that's just when you get home. So, but there's special things that happen when you play at the beach. Let's let that run through your mind for a second. you're not playing for tourists. You know, in Fells Point, you play for a certain number of tourists. You're playing for people on vacation. That's a totally different thing. I'd never really experienced that. People on vacation think that you, the musician, came with their room. You're like the blueberry yogurt in the free breakfast bar in the morning. So they walk into the place where you're playing, and they're not there to hear you. The locals would come to hear us, and they would know some of our originals that we played, and we were playing our originals and trying to pick covers that like weren't too overdone, trying to be, you know, musicians and put on a good show. The vacationers are not interested in that, right? They're there to have fun, and you're there to entertain them, and they want to hear what they want to hear. And for those musicians here who have done gigs, you know, we all do gigs where people request stuff and get on our nerves and whatever. No, this is a whole other thing. You're there to serve them, and it immediately creates this conflict when they figure out that you're one of the only bands in town that is not playing Brown Eyed Girl, Margaritaville, American Pie, Angel from Montgomery, Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard, over and over and over again. It's like, and for the non-musicians in the crowd, here's the best way I can explain it. Because some people would say, look, man, you could be digging a ditch. You get to play music. What does it matter what song you play? I mean, you're getting paid good money to play music. It's like living in the Playboy Mansion. What are you talking about? Here's what it's like. It's like if you have a customer service job, and part of your job is to answer the same question every day 4 or 5 times. And by the time that 50th person, that 100th person, that 200th person asks you that question, you're blaming them for the other 199 people. You're like, didn't this sucker hear the first 199 times that I played this song? And, of course, it's not their fault. You know, they haven't. And then what you do is if for whatever reason you decide to play that, you know, Margaritaville, because they put a tip in the thing, you just detach. Your brain just goes to a different place. You don't even remember playing it when you're done. You're not interested. And then at the end, everybody claps. And you're like, what the hell is wrong with people? This doesn't make any sense. Why am I here? So it creates this conflict of like, every gig, man, you end up getting in a, like, trying not to argue with people or getting a fight with them. And then the last thing about dealing with the vacation crowd is the pleading in their eyes when they make a request, which is just completely different because this is their vacation, man, and you are here. And it's some, you know, here's the kind of fourth pina colada. Oh, my God, you guys are so fantastic. You're so great. My name's Lacey, by the way. And you guys, my friend Ashley's here. We're on vacation this week. And that song you played a few minutes ago, I don't remember, something about a girl in a car. It was just so good. I don't know. I don't remember it, but it was really good. But here's the thing. Our favorite song. Hi, Ashley. Our favorite song, it's that Indigo Girls song. I know you know the one I mean. It's about being okay with yourself the way you are. And I can't remember, but it's our special song. And you're going to, could you do that for us? You'll do that for us, right? I know you know it. You know it. You know that song. Everybody knows that song. You can do it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. It's fine. Oh, and The Greatest Love of All, Whitney Houston. You can do that too, right? Yes, you'll do it. It's going to be fine. It doesn't matter if you don't know the words. It's fine. So I'm just going to stand over here by your speaker thingy, and then so I can watch you to see you do it because I don't want to leave. So I'm just going to stand here. And they stand and they stare at you. What do I? Do I look like Whitney Houston? I don't. This was every day. Every day. So after 2 years of this, my idea of what being an independent musician was changed pretty radically. Spent the next few years, you know, playing here, playing around. And then, as I said, around 98, 97, I decided, you know, I want to do country music, the music that I really like. And nobody may show up. But by that time, my idea of being an independent musician was nobody gets to tell me what I'm going to do. if they want to offer an opinion, I may consider it. I'll take it under advisement. But if I want to completely ignore it and do something else, then that's what I'm going to do. And the cool thing for me is that I've gotten to do it in one of the last places where people would suspect that anybody would even show up to see what I do. And people do show up, and I really do enjoy it. Because really, when you think about it, this is one of the places in the world where a lot of rules get suspended all the time, especially artistic rules. And if you have an idea, something that you want to do in Baltimore, you just go do it because there's somebody equally as crazy and ridiculous as you are that's probably going to show up. So that's all I got.